I'm an addict. My name's Fred.
Hey,
I like Bunny. I'm not a professional speaker, but I play one on TV. I'm an addict, and I'm grateful to be clean addict. And, you know, I've heard it said, and I believe it myself, that I believe NA saved my life. You know, I used for 27 years. There was no way I could stop using. I had brief periods of not using when I went to jail. And every time I got back out, I would use. I had periods where I would go to jail and then go to, like, pre-release center and go out to work, and go to meetings, and I loved it. It was like living in a college dorm. But as soon as I got out and I had money, I was using again. So there's no way I can stop using drugs on my own. And it's kind of funny because I've heard it said that I learned how to use drugs. I didn't know how to smoke a cigarette, smoke pot, drink beer, but I tried it. It didn't feel right. And then the next thing you know, I'm still continuing to do that, even if it doesn't feel right. Taking a drink, throwing up, do it again. How insane is that? But so I learned how to use drugs. And it took a long time to learn how not to use drugs. This was one of the first conventions when I first got clean, back in 1989, I used for 27 years and went through treatment my second time. And when I got out of treatment, I saw a flyer for this convention, and it was happening like about 3 months, like you said, the end of March. And I said, if I'm still clean and I get a chance, I want to go to this convention. And I did come to this convention. And when I got here, I had a coat that I'd had for like 15 years. My mother had bought me. She says, wow, he's always on the streets. He's not doing good. I at least want to make sure he has a warm coat so he doesn't freeze to death out there. And I had that same coat, my friend said to me when I got here. You got to get rid of that coat, you know. But at least it carried me for the last 10 or 15 years of my using. And then when I got here, this convention, it was the fourth one, and the guy's smelling the rose, and it says, we do recover. And that's when I understood that, you know, once an addict, always an addict. But that was a lie, and that lie was dead, you know. I never had to use drugs again. I could recover, and I really love that. When I first got clean, you know, I had to follow some suggestions. I had tried treatment back in 1981. I went through the VA hospital for 6 months, and that was really good for me to separate myself from using for that 6 months. The thing was, when I got out, I went to see my old drug dealer that was like kicking me out 6 months prior, wouldn't give me anything. And to, you know, look, I'm doing pretty good today. I haven't used in 6 months, and he's dumping pills in my hand. Next thing you know, I'm out using and everything. And I had gotten a lot of information at the VA hospital. They had directed us to a lot of NA meetings in that 6 months period. And I remember, you know, it's like getting a lot of this information and going to NA meetings. We really felt like, wow, we really got this going on. You know, we're clean. We got a lot of information. We're going to meetings. And somebody from the program pulled us up and said, you know what? People who go through this VA program, go through VINATA, you know, we need Narcotics Anonymous. People in Narcotics Anonymous do not need that VA program. You know, you don't have to go through this program to stay clean. There are many people that get clean in these rooms and stay clean in these rooms and have never seen a treatment center or a treatment program. And since I was so new in recovery, when they said that, it's like a little taken aback, you know, get a little defensive. But over the years, I realized how true that was. Now, it was 3 weeks after leaving that program that I was back to using, and it seems like once you get some a little bit of recovery in your head, a little bit of Narcotics Anonymous in your head, and then you try and use again, it's like whoa, this is not as good as it was when I first started. And it seemed like the people that I ran into, people who had been through treatment in the 70s and early 80s, and they ran hard too. So it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. I do believe that this, for me, is a progressive disease. It's obsessive, compulsive, and it manifests itself in my life being unmanageable. My life was unmanageable back in 75 when I was running around trying to stick up pharmacies and going to jail. Then after that, my life got unmanageable. I said, well, I'm not going to stick up any more pharmacies, but I'll go to doctors and start getting drugs from them. And then after that, I found myself going to jail every single year. And the bad thing was, is I was all right with going to jail every single year, because I'd get clean, get a little weight on, come back out and start using again. I believe that my higher power had me like getting locked up every year, saving my life, because if I didn't, I'd be out using. So it's kind of like my higher power working for me long before I ever knew about a higher power. So I remember these people at the NNA, and I think there was like one NA meeting a day in Washington, D.C. The VA hospital had an NA meeting on Friday night, Tuesday and Thursday night, probably a table as big as this and about 10 people sitting around it. And Saturday night was uptown in Washington, D.C. And pretty much we were directed to go to a meeting every single day. And I just was not following some of the ideas that they were telling me about. Later on, after I'd used for 27 years, been going to jail every year for the last three years, and then I'm getting ready to get kicked out of my house by my father in Langley Park, getting ready to get kicked off my job. I'd been on this clinic over in PG Hospital for about 18 months, and they had me get ready to do some blood work on me, and I realized I wasn't HIV positive, and I had nowhere else to go. And I said to myself, oops, time to scoot into treatment. And my friend had seen me in the last 18 months on the street. I'd be walking to work carrying a quart of beer, and he said to me, why don't you go into treatment? And I says, I will never go into treatment again. I says, I went through the VA hospital for 6 months, and it was worse than jail. I'd rather go to jail. It's kind of funny, because he was one of the guys that I thought was like worse than me. He was clean. So I wasn't ready to follow any of that direction for about 18 months. But now I found myself, okay, I'm going to follow this one direction. He said, going to treatment is just like putting 30 days between you and your disease, getting you a little clean time, and teaching you about the disease of addiction. And in this particular treatment center, they had me following a few directions that I decided to start working. Somebody brought an H&I meeting that Bunny was mentioning into the treatment center. And I'd worked with him 18 months prior, and Narcotics Anonymous had him taking an H&I meeting into the treatment center. And I knew he had used like I used because I worked with him. Now I know he had been to a meeting every day for the last 18 months. He lived with other people in recovery, and he wasn't using. So I had asked him to be my sponsor. He said, well, I know you're just up here for an oil change, and then he sort of chuckled, but then he gave me his phone number and said, give me a call. This was one of the directions I started following. I started calling him every day. When he wasn't there, I'd leave little messages so that he knew I called. You know, I'd make him detailed messages. I'd have people that lived in his house take detailed messages so he knew I called. So I started following that direction. They suggested that I not move back to Langley Park with my father, and I was getting kicked out of there prior to going into treatment. So they suggested I move in with other people in recovery. So I moved into a house that had 14 other addicts. 13 of them were there, had at least 2 to 6 years clean, and then somebody else and I came out of my treatment center and moved into there. And these were people in this house, 15 of us, and they went to meetings every single day. They lived in a community, in the community. And I had to make this a piece of my recovery, living with other people in recovery. 15 years later today, I still live with other people in recovery. I think there was 1 year I lived with a girlfriend of mine who was not an addict for 1 year. Before that, I lived in this house. I moved in with a house with just three people. And then now I have two roommates who are both in the program. One who's like older than me, and like we were telling him, you're like the oldest guy in NA with the least amount of clean time. And now, and you know, we just grabbed a hold of this guy and just carried him along with us. All of a sudden, he'd be gone. And we were saying, where'd this guy go? I don't think he's going to stay clean. And then he'd show up the next week or the next meeting and then do the same thing again. Now, this guy has like 6.5 years clean. You know, I have another roommate that has 3 years clean. He's the chair of PI for Montgomery County. So that's what works best was for me. When they suggested that I move in with other people in recovery, that's what worked best for me. And it still does today. But a big part of, I think, this 10th tradition, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. It doesn't matter what this VA hospital is doing. You know, I'm grateful for that, and that's just me personally. But NA really has no opinion on their program or what they do. This house that I moved into after I got out of treatment, I lived there for 4 years, and I'm grateful to that house, and I'm grateful to all the addicts that lived there and helped me and gave me the ability after a year or so to start helping other people that were new in this house. But Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on that house and how it runs, and consequently, I think Narcotics Anonymous is like the one that benefits the most out of that, and then the addicts and the groups that are in Narcotics Anonymous can draw on that. And you can trust me on this. I'm going to have an opinion on just about everything. Like Bunny said, it can be political. It could be religious. I can have an opinion on everything. But pretty much if I follow these traditions, and the traditions, you know, it took me 4 years to write my fourth step, four more years to write my eighth step. I was just grateful to be clean, grateful to come down here and go to a convention, grateful to have a dance every other week to go to. So I wasn't like pressed to start doing a lot of writing, step writing, four step, eight step. So where was I going with that? Anyway, I was doing a lot of like writing on my four-step, writing on my eight-step, but I was grateful to be clean. And the thing about Narcotics Anonymous that helped me out a lot was that I could draw on this fellowship, and they were going to teach me how to stay clean. Like I said at the very beginning, I couldn't stay clean on my own. But if I go to a meeting every day, and pretty much I still go to a meeting every day, if I do a little service work. At the beginning, it was picking up ashtrays and putting down chairs. You know, I wanted to use so bad that for 9 months, I'd get to the meeting like 45 minutes early. And because I just knew that if I didn't do that, I was going to use. So pretty much what I would do is whoever's the coffee maker, I'd help them put down the chairs. Or at the end, I'd help pick up the chairs. When I was going to jail and coming out to meetings, the last thing I wanted to do was come up front and sit in front or hang around after the meeting, because I was not in that space where I wanted to be clean, you know. I just didn't want to be in jail, so I'd go to a meeting. But now, I wanted to stay clean, so I'd come to the meeting 45 minutes early. I would help with chairs. I would help another addict. And as a result of that, they also told me in the treatment center one time, find something to do on Friday and Saturday night. When I get paid on Friday, when I have that money, that's the first thing I do is I get that tunnel vision down to the dope man's house. They said, if you get a service position on Friday night, so after about 9 months clean, somebody said, we're going to have a group conscience after the meeting. Our treasurer's stepping down. Nobody really wants the position, so you stay after the meeting. We're going to elect you as treasurer. And he says, we've seen you come into this meeting for the last 9 months. You've been walking over this hill, going back after the meeting to the, you know, metro. He said so. So I got a position as a treasurer on Friday night. within the next 3 to 4 months, I got a position on Saturday night. So that's another thing that helped me in this fellowship was the fact that I was able to have service positions on Friday and Saturday night. I really like the traditions. When I lived in this first house with those 15 other addicts, and I wasn't like pressed to work steps except to stay clean and then see what I could do, these traditions helped me a lot. Like, my favorite one is the first one: our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. And when I was learning about the traditions, living with other people in recovery, coming to meetings every day, sitting in a group conscience, then it was real important that traditions, I started working traditions even before steps, you know, because I was surrounded by addicts, whether I was living, where I was working. And the people where I worked, a lot of the addicts, you know, they weren't trying to get clean. When I was working there, I wasn't trying to get clean. But they did support me in my recovery. And the fact that I had traditions to go by. And when I came in and started learning about traditions from other addicts that had more clean time, you know, they were telling me things like, well, you know, spiritual principles are never in conflict with each other. You know, I can be in a group conscience. I remember group consciences about the Lord Prayer, the group conscience about, you know, where the we're going to meet or what the format of the meeting should be. And I'll always have an opinion and want to be on one side. And sometimes I'll swear my opinion is right, but it really doesn't matter. I'll call my sponsor up and I'll say, this group is trying to do this. And he'll say something like, what do you want to be, the sheriff of NA? And, you know, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, that's what I'd like to be. But, the truth of the matter is, I've seen group consciences that were completely against what I thought. And once it happened, once the conscience of the group took place, it made my life a lot more manageable. I was able to just not have to argue, not have to have an opinion as much. And I probably still had my opinion, but I was able to accept what the conscience of, you know, the group wanted, you know, accept what Narcotics Anonymous wanted. Today, after being clean a while, I find that it's much easier to live in accordance with these principles, steps, and traditions than when I first got clean, because I was always working off of, I was always the guy that had used for 27 years. So where am I going to be in any of this picture? You know, I'm going to be that guy. So it took a little while to learn about principles. It took a while to learn about steps and then traditions too. So also when I first got clean, you know, going to meetings every day, working with steps, working with traditions, doesn't mean that my life is going to, like, be picture perfect. You know, when I came in here, I was probably 90 days. I had to do a lot of dental work, and there was issues coming up with using drugs. You had to if you were doing the type of dental work I was doing. And the thing is, the people in the fellowship said, look, this has happened to us. This is what we had to do. If you do this, it'll pretty much work out okay. When I had my hip replaced, because I was so involved in the fellowship in the first 4 years of my recovery, when I had my hip replaced, it seemed like the fellowship just surrounded me, you know. Came to my house every night, had meetings in my house 4 nights a week, and I had 2 particular friends that would stay with me every night till 1:30 in the morning, till I was just so tired I had to go to sleep. And then, you know, at least they knew I wasn't using that night. And then the next day, you know, they either had a meeting or my friends came over. And for 30 days, this fellowship just surrounded me. And that was as a result of a lot of the work that I did in there, going to meetings every day. I think for 3 years I went to a meeting every single day, about 10 a week. And sometimes we'd have fun just traveling around on Sunday, seeing how many meetings we can go to. When I'd been here for a couple of years, my friend Chuck took me to a H&I meeting. Said, okay, we're going to go to a meeting. I'll pick you up. But first, let me stop by this meeting. And I said, okay. Next thing you know, I'm in H&I, and they're electing me as a coordinator at some place because I had a car and I could get there. And I had no design on doing any H&I work. But got sucked into it like that. And like Bunny said, you know, that was probably one of the most gratifying things I ever did in NA, because I went into the same jails that I was in every year for 3 years. I went into the treatment center that I was in, and as a result of that, it's kind of a lot different going into these things, like going to this treatment center, and I'm like, the last place I have to go, or going into jail with handcuffs on, and then walking into jail, sharing my experience, strength, and hope, and then walking out and hearing these doors close behind me. I'm extremely grateful. And guess what? I didn't want to come up here and share today, but I know that as soon as I do and I walk out this door, I'll feel a lot better, you know? So that was kind of cool. I like doing H&I work, but it seems like things are cyclical. I do H&I work, then I get introduced to the area. Next thing you know, I'm involved in the area. Then I step away from H&I work, start doing area service for a little while. A few years after the area service, get involved in this convention. And do this convention for a couple years. Get so tired of doing convention work after working on a convention that you just say, I'm not doing that anymore. Next thing you know, you just lay low, do a little service work at your group. And then the next thing you know, you're back at H&I again for a while, then back at the area, then another convention. So it seems kind of cyclical for me where everything's working like that. I kind of like the fact that Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on any of these other issues, and that helps me when I need to have some direction. This 11th tradition, our public relations policy, is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. I am not that important where they're going to be filming me and asking me what I'm doing, but I can never say, you know, to the world, I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, my life is not that important, and my life will go down the tubes any moment I pick up and use. So as a result of that, I don't want to use myself as an example of Narcotics Anonymous. A lot of people at my work know that I'm in a 12-step program and know it's Narcotics Anonymous. If I were to go out and use, you know, they'd probably feel bad for me, but it would have no direct reflection on the fellowship. But if I were to sit there and say that Narcotics Anonymous works as a result of me staying clean, and then I were to use, that would have a devastating effect in their minds about Narcotics Anonymous. As a result of me staying clean and actually showing up to work every day, I've had people come up to me and ask me, you know, I know so-and-so that's having a problem with drugs, or I know so-and-so that's not acting right, doing this and that behavior. And what they're doing is, my life has been kind of an example of where I was, where I am today, and people want to know what I did to change that. And at that point, what I try and do is direct them to, like, a meeting list. Or, here's my number, give me a call. Anybody gives me a call, I'll definitely talk to them. Or, meeting list, and the first thing I do is highlight a meeting that I go to every week, you know, every night. Because they go to that meeting, they're going to see me there and my friends there, because I go there because I want to see my friends. You know, it isn't always like, I want the greatest recovery in the world. I'm going to go see my friends. You know, I think for me, this is a 12-step program, 12-tradition program, but my favorite part of it is going to meetings because I get to see my friends. Another favorite part of it is the fellowship, you know. Those just happen to be two favorite. I do have to work steps, and I do have to, like, honor traditions and see traditions working in my life, but that doesn't have to be my favorite part of the program. You know, I like the fellowship, and I like going to meetings. So that's just, you know, my opinion. Today things are a lot different for me. I've worked with my sponsor all the steps, and I'm like on step 12 now. These last probably 5 to 7 years working steps 10, 11, and 12 have afforded me a new way to live. I feel better. I make less mistakes. And the mistakes I do make, I'm able to like, wait a minute, that was a mistake. I need to correct this right this minute, or I'm going to just live in this for a while. So, you know, working steps 10, 11, and 12 really helped me a lot. The reason I mentioned those steps is I have a lot of sponsees now. I have like 5 people that call me on a regular basis. You know, one of them's like the step monster that like, he wears his sponsees out with steps. So I always got to be on my toes. So this guy will have me going to the book and just reading and reading and reading just so I can stay on my toes with him. And I don't have a lot to do. 5 minutes. I have 3 or 4 sponsees that are like doing 4 steps. And they're like people that are almost like using. You want to shake them and say, just do this. But I can't shake somebody that's using and say, just do this. So what I do is just share my experience, strength, and hope. Tell them what worked for me, you know? Look, I worked a 4-step with that 4-step guide. 7 sections in it. Do 1 section at a time. Resentments, relationships. If it's more of a relationship, hold off until the 2nd chapter and just do, you know, like that. So I can share my experience, but I really can't make anybody do anything. But the fact that these guys call me on a regular basis really helps me out a lot. It affords me the opportunity to stay clean. And this last tradition, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I think principles before personalities is a big thing in my life. I will look at anybody and probably try and judge a book by its cover. But as a result of being in Narcotics Anonymous, I can look at everybody and realize, and I heard it said a few weeks ago, we all got the same last name, you know? And I kind of like that. Nobody's no different than anybody else. When Bunny was mentioning about the doctor and the garbage collector, I think the doctor probably has a harder time of staying clean than the garbage collector because the doctor knows so much. And in some aspects, I'm one of those smart guys that will analyze everything, pick everything apart, and that's why I believe it took 27 years for me to get clean, because guess what? I was not having anybody telling me what to do. I was too smart for that. And as a result of that, I stayed out there that much longer. It was my higher power that had me, like, living and, you know, long enough so that I could enjoy life coming here. So I really believe in that. I think a lot of people, I see a lot of people, you know, look at this tradition and think, and I hear it said in meetings, what you hear here, who you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here. And, you know, I don't believe anybody should repeat what's said in a meeting, but I know that the people who came in here ahead of me said that we are our own ears and eyes, you know. We take each other's inventory. And as a result of that, if I'm not doing well, if I'm going to like 2 or 3 meetings a week, and in this past year I switched shifts on my job and was going to 2 or 3 meetings a week, and my friend that I go to the gym with, she said, you're only going to 2 or 3 meetings a week. And I said, well, so do you. She says, yeah, but I always do. But you usually go to 4 or 5 meetings a week, so it worries me, you know. And I had to take a look at that. So I found a way to start making it to 4 or 5 meetings a week. And now pretty much I go to 6 or 7 meetings a week, you know, because my schedule affords me that, and I find myself more comfortable going to meetings on a regular basis. But I do believe that we take each other's inventory in here. We help each other stay clean. And if one of my friends is, like, not doing well in a certain area, I'm going to ask them about it. Hey, what's going on with this? And I want them to ask me about that, too. So while this tradition's talking about anonymity, and we're all the same, and we're all equal, we all have the same last name, I don't try and buy into it too much about secrets, because, you know, when I first got clean, I was like, when I go to the bathroom, I let everybody know when I'm going to the bathroom, because that was the first place that I'll take a needle out and stick it in my arm behind everybody's back as soon as I can get in that bathroom, turn on that water and use. So with that, I want to let everybody know where I am at any given time. I'll call my friends up and say, I'm going to this meeting today, then I'm going here, then I'm going here, then I'm going to eat. And the reason I do that is because a lot of times I don't trust myself with my own decisions. So I let everybody know where I'm at. If something's going on, they'll let me know. I really love Narcotics Anonymous, and I believe Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. So I've been coming to this convention since number four, and I worked on, I think it was 16. So maybe in a couple more years I'll get back involved with the convention. But until then, it's be my vacation. I'll just do workshops and come seeing you every year. And then I'll see you at my, I have a home group. That's going to be Cedar Lane out in Bethesda, Maryland. And I'm part of the Montgomery area. So hopefully I'll see you in a meeting out there. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.